welcome to Glenn and Casey's Royal Ramble, Random Ramble. What are we, episode number 55 or something?
It is 55, Case.
Yeah, good guess.
It was a bloody good guess. Well, I think 54 was the last one, so excellent guess, nonetheless. This is our Christmas edition.
Oh, it is too.
It is too.
Merry Christmas, Glenn.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Merry Christmas to Dora, who's...
Who's jumping up for some reason. Off you go. And so, it's this time of year where a lot of people that do these little podcasts, whatever their hobby may be or their topics, everyone closes shop.
Yeah.
So,
not us.
Well, this is the only time of the year we pick up our game and actually almost do a bi-weekly podcast because we've got the Chrissy episode and then we've actually got a New Year's episode, New Year's Eve. So if anyone's lonely on New Year's, they can listen to us. That'll be fun. But look, this is my selection. SummerSlam 89.
Yeah.
I promised it for summer.
Yes.
And the weather's certainly letting us down.
Well, it's been pretty summery the last couple of days. It's been extremely hot. So.
Yeah, but it's just balmy and rubbish at the moment.
Yeah.
This is like a dodgy day in Fiji.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it is. Like, I'm feeling a bit sweaty. Like
this weather would be fine if it was sunny instead of overcast.
Well, anyway, it's not the weather report. But this is my favourite SummerSlam of all time. I know yours is 90.
Yes.
But tell me, did you have a good time?
I had a great time. Despite, I've been... As you might recall from the last podcast, I was suffering a gallbladder attack during the last podcast, and I've spent this week in hospital, out of hospital, getting ultrasounds and all sorts of things.
Bit concerning.
So, not so much that, but just a pain in the gut, you could say.
Fair enough.
And, luckily I watched this just before... some incredible, painful episodes, but
wrestling on set these pains?
Yeah, it must. But my memory, I did watch this about a week ago. Given the last week I've had, my memory is a little hazy. So
look at that.
We'll see how we go through.
That's it. Well, look, I haven't taken morphine between when I watched it and now, so my memory will hopefully be a little bit clearer. You don't have any spare morphine,
no? They wouldn't let me take any home.
That's a shame. But your gallbladder gave you a bionic elbow.
Maybe a gut wrench suplex.
That's good. So we're jumping back in the time machine. It's August 28th.
Yep.
89, of course.
Yep.
The city is East Rutherglen. Sorry, you're going to speak.
I was just going, where are we?
We're in New Jersey, of all places. The venue is the Brendan Byrne Arena? Brendan Byrne Arena?
Mm.
Yeah. Attendance?
20,000. On the dot.
On the nose.
Yeah.
Well, it was 20,001, but Gorilla's not here. So he couldn't make it. We've got Tony Schiavone joining
us. Yeah, that's right.
Jesse.
Slight surprise for me. I didn't remember him. I have seen this SummerSlam a couple of times.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
It's a classic. It was the one... Do you remember, and back to the video store chat, Blockbuster Video, there used to be a wrestling section.
Yes.
Like, not a sports... There was a sports section. And then just a wrestling section. And it was huge. This was the tape that was always one of the first ones everyone would hire.
Yeah.
You know, you go,
me, SummerSlam 1990 was the very first.
You're ahead of your time. Now, the strange thing is although there was 20,000 people here in New Jersey, this one set a record, a different record of sorts, because it had 600,000 buys.
Ah, pay-per-view buys.
Big money.
Yeah.
Big money. Vince is making us feel the heat. And how good is the opener? Like that... Kid with an ice cream. Dusty Rhodes.
People on the beach.
That's it. And that was Stephanie McMahon jumping in the pool.
Oh, really?
As a kid. That little fun trivia fact over here for your next wrestling trivia night that will never happen. So another thing that Wikipedia told me, I didn't know this prior, is Dino Bravo and Coco Beware had a dark match.
Yeah, I did not read that.
Did you? But no one cares because no one's ever seen it. So Dino Bravo, the victor. That's a different one, isn't it? I don't say that often. So we start out after seeing a fresh-faced Tony Schiavone. No mustache because it's not WCW. I actually quite enjoyed Tony Schiavone's very short stint at WWF because he commentated this one. Dog's got allergies. He commentated this and he also commentated the Royal Rumble 1990, which is a classic too.
Yeah.
The dog does not think much of our podcast so far.
I actually thought he was quite good here as well. He works
with Jesse.
Yeah, exactly.
It works. It's good. Now, our first opening match is quite the classic.
Yeah.
We've got the Brain Busters direct from WCW
yep.
Two of the Four Horsemen. so to speak.
And some Tully Blanchard. With Bobby Heenan, of course.
Well, you know, you get paired with Bobby and here come the booze. Yeah. So that was a good match.
But they are the tag team champions, though,
aren't they? They are indeed. They outsmarted somebody. You're expecting me to know who they won the belt off, aren't you?
It was Demolition.
We'll go with that. I don't know for sure, but I think that would be a fair enough guess. I really don't know. Well, who was the tag team champions at WrestleMania 5? It would have been the British Bulldogs, perhaps?
Bulldogs, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Let's not go there. But who they're up against is the Hart Foundation. You know, they might have won it off the Hart Foundation, now that I think about it.
There's a fair chance it was either the Bulldogs, Demolition, or the Hart Foundation.
Let's just name every tag team from 1989, and then I'll look it up, and then we'll edit in the correct answer later. They'll go, these guys know their stuff. So, and the Hart Foundation are faces at this stage.
Yep.
And interestingly enough, it's a non-title match.
Mm.
So straight away, I'm like, well, wait a minute. The Brainbusters are the champs. It's a non-title match.
You know what? I read about this. It was Demolition, I'm sure of it, because...
I can't argue it.
No, they won the titles off Demolition, but this match had already been booked before that they won the titles, which is why this is a non-title match.
There you go. I learn every time we do this, you know?
It doesn't even matter if I'm saying the wrong thing. As long as I say it confidently, no one's going to...
Who's going to look it up? Yeah. I'm not going to look it up. I'm just... Do you think I edit this shit? I don't care. The last one, you're dying of pain. I'm just like... It's all there, folks. So I think you had to take a toilet break. So I had to mesh them together. That was about it.
Oh, you didn't keep talking while I went to the toilet? I was looking forward to listening to what that was about.
Do you know how long you were gone for? So, anyway, this match is great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Great way to start a pay-per-view and two excellent tag teams.
But all I remember like as a kid is not like the Brainbusters worked because I didn't like them.
Yeah.
And there was no pizzazz, was there? There was no fun music.
Yeah, no.
They were just two stiff, ugly looking blokes.
Yeah, and Arn Anderson looks like your dad or somebody's dad.
Totally. Yeah. He still looks like that. Yeah. But the Brainbusters are such great wrestlers because they tell a story, they cut the ring in half, yada, yada, yada. As this match went along, and it did go kind of long for an opening tag team match, I started to suspect this might actually be another, like, double, like, we ran out of time kids type match. Because you know how that happened the year prior at 88 between the Rouget brothers and the British Bulldogs? So I was getting that feeling again, so I did actually forget the ending. Because the Brainbusters win.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and I'm like, but it doesn't matter who wins, so wouldn't you just book the babyfaces to win?
You'd think so.
They swerved me.
Yeah, but they win in devious fashion. Arn Anderson, I think, gets a pin, but he's not the legal man. They switch out.
Well, also, because he delivers the double axe handle.
That's right, yeah.
To the back. And because it's a surprise double axe handle, it's instantly a pin.
Yeah.
You notice in all wrestling, if he did that in any other form or fashion during the match, nothing would happen.
Yeah.
So, it's the power-up double axe handle, the illegal one. But the Brainbusters prove that they are the brains, along with Bobby the Brain.
Oh, I hear thunder.
Well, of course, it's SummerSlam! Every time we do a SummerSlam. So 16-23 for that match. And great opener.
It was fantastic. It really set the stage for, all right, cool. I'm in 1989, a peak time of wrestling. This is great.
Well, you know, I also noticed that we're in 89 because Dusty's here.
Yeah.
Dusty. And he's dressed as the Big Boss Man.
Yeah, why is he wearing a police hat?
I think and he has a nightstick.
Yeah.
Him and Big Boss Man apparently had a tiny scuffle prior. Right. Definitely moving into a program as we go along.
But Boss Man never had a police hat.
I know. I noticed that. And Boss Man did come out later with a nightstick. So there's two nightsticks floating around here at the WWF. Look, Dusty cuts an amazing program.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
And what always makes me laugh, and I always forget it until I see it, but Dusty comes on the screen. I remember my dad hated him. The dream. And he'd be like, oh, not Dusty Rhodes. So, hated him. And I'm like, okay, we're supposed to cheer this guy. But this match is two of the most amusing characters.
Yes.
And successful characters.
Yeah.
Whether WWF want to admit it or not. Dusty Rhodes, direct from WCW, against the Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah.
This is like an old Nintendo game, Matt.
Yeah.
Like, where you're, oh, well, I've got to pick a silly character. So Dusty comes out with the polka dots on for everyone to enjoy. Honky comes out, and he's dressed in his finery.
Yep.
And this is just a fun match.
He's got Jimmy Hart with him, of course.
Of course.
And, yeah, it's a great fun match, I mean, as you would expect from these two, like...
Legends?
We could call them idiots, but yeah.
Legendary idiots.
Dusty just spawning around, you know, the way he's
dressed. Really
idiots, but yeah, with his police hat, just makes him look like a stripper. Like the worst stripper. Like,
yeah,
I don't think... fatogram joke that you'd hire for your mates.
I was going to say, he'd be a pretty poor stripper. but it's just so... It's a comical match. It's not meant to be too serious, but there's just so much... Like, working here. Like, Dusty has the crowd in the palm of his hands this entire time. 100%. Wriggles his butt, does a little strut. Crowd loves it. Crowd loves him. He doesn't even have Sweet Sapphire with him yet.
Yeah.
And he is over. And, yeah, he goes on to have a feud with Big Boss Man.
Right.
Big Boss Man, I think, might give him a receipt at the Survivor Series coming up. Bit of colour from memory with the nightstick. So that'll teach you duff there. Did Bionic Elbows galore. Honky gets his hair messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, the ending is just classic Honky Tonk Man ending with Jimmy Hart, like, Honky holding Dusty so that Jimmy Hart can...
Jimmy's going to do it!
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are we all so sure?
Hit him with a guitar, and yeah, you can guess what happens. Like, the second that gets set up, you know exactly what's going to happen there. And poor old Honky gets a hunk of burning guitar straight to the head.
And it breaks really weirdly, too. I'm like, is that a gimmicked guitar?
Yeah,
is this a Jake the Snake special? Yeah. But yeah, so... And Jake the Snake is the only person missing.
Yeah,
From what I can see here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Honky's out cold. Jimmy Hart then falls off the ring. So that means he would have done that... Doesn't matter who he would have hit. Bit strange. But and then, of course, Dusty delivers the big elbow drop and it's all over. Dusty's the victor in under 10 minutes.
Yep.
And now we're having fun. This is good. This is good stuff. Now, next match. Would you call this a squash match?
It almost is, but...
Not quite. It's a squish match?
Yeah. It goes for 3 minutes and 20 seconds, but...
It does.
It's Mr. Perfect versus
The Red Rooster.
Yeah, the other perfect wrestler.
Terrific Terry Taylor.
Yeah. But apparently Red Rooster injured his
leg. During the match.
Yeah.
During the actual match.
That's why it was ended.
Wrapped up quickly, but it kind of played like it should have always done that anyway, making Perfect look like a strong heel.
Yeah, and Red Rooster is an idiot.
But what I love about this is Mr. Perfect wins clean. He's always been that heel.
Yeah.
He can wrestle. He's not a coward.
Yeah.
And like, so you can understand the eventual face turn when it happened in 92. But the Red Rooster pops up a lot in the late 80s. I did notice that. Now, that's it. I've got nothing more on that one. It. Move along.
Yep.
All right. This was a fun one.
Yeah, another tag match, wasn't it?
Yes, we've got the fabulous Rougeau Brothers. And they're accompanied by he's not quite the model yet. It's Rick Martel.
Yes.
Now, Rick Martel's good in this one. And they're up against the Rockers, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels, of course, and Tito! Arriba!
Chico
Santana. Now, this match overall really isn't about the two tag teams involved.
No. It's playing off the whole, you know, Strike Force split up, Rick Martel, Tino Santana.
That's
feud,
it. Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, once that feud died out, that was the end of Tito, really, wasn't it? So,
but it was a good feud while it lasted.
Of course.
And, of course, but, you know, there's to every Shawn Michaels, there is a Marty Jannetty.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that's where Tito ended up, a bullfighter. This dog will not let up today. I'm happy the sun's out, but now the dog is going to
die. Hey! But speaking of Marty Jannetty, does the bulk of the work of this match, just getting beat up by the Rougeaus and Rick Martel.
That's right.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. And also...
Sorry, Glenn, I'll be quiet.
I'm losing my spot. But I really enjoy, like, crazy, cowardly Rick Martel.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Where he's only tagging in when the guys are down, especially Tito. Tito tags in, I'm out again! And that by itself alone is really entertaining.
Yeah.
And I did, of course... like the way it ended. And it only went for, about 15 minutes? But, of course, Martel has to get the win, doesn't he?
Mm.
So, I don't know why he had Slick with him. I don't think he needed Slick.
Yeah, I guess it's just one of those things bad guys need a manager.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah.
I guess. But Slick was, like, the worst
manager
of all the managers. And he is still pretty good.
Yeah.
But, like, he's in sort of... He's in category B with Mr. Fuji, isn't he?
I love Mr. Fuji.
I like Mr. Fuji too, but no Bobby the Brain.
No, of course not.
No Jimmy Hart, your favourite manager of all time. Isn't that, or does that still stand?
Or you've had Humperdinck.
Oliver Humperdinck in Gladys Knight's jacket. Yeah. So, yes, the Fabulous Rougeaus and Rick Martel, the victors of this fun. And a lot of... this is not the last time we're going to see 3-on-3 tonight, is it?
No, it's not. There's another one.
We're just squeezing everyone on the card. Now, next we've got probably the best championship match of the night.
Yeah, it's the Intercontinental Championship match.
Mm. And this is when it meant something, too.
Yeah, of course. Well, Rick Rude is the champion.
Could that cicada be any louder? Where
it's
is that?
That's pretty ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
I think it's not three.
Oh.
It's just like, oops.
Sorry. That's our audio glitch, folks. But at least if he starts up again, I'm going to go stomping over there. I'll probably step in dog poo.
Rick Rude being the Intercontinental Champion.
Well, because he stole it off the Warrior at WrestleMania 5.
That's right.
Remember, Bobby grabbed the leg.
Yes, that's right.
See, notice there's something happening here. All of a sudden, all our podcasts, although out of order, diabolical order, they're starting to mesh. Yeah. We're slowly starting to fill a few gaps here. I like it. But look, Rick Rude was great. And I think completely underrated.
Why he never
got a championship run as a heel, I do not know. Especially when he became more aggressive as like the next year or two. And then he was gone back to WCW in the tag team of sorts. But the Ultimate Warrior here is actually good in this match.
Yeah.
We don't say that often.
No.
This match goes for longer than 2 minutes.
No, it goes for 16 minutes. And Warrior, like... Yeah, he's good, but he cheats. That's one thing I mentioned. The refs in this in the entire event have been terrible. Like, the brainbusters...
You wouldn't hire them?
Well, they don't pick the legal man, with the brainbusters. I think there's some all sorts of shenanigans happen in that six-man tag match as well. Mm. And in this, Warrior's cheating. Like, he's whacking... what's he whacking Rick Rude with? I can't remember. He's using something illegal.
I saw a lot of clotheslines.
No, he's using something outside the ring, just smashing him with it, and the ref's...
Oh, that's right, because Tony...
Right in front of the ref, and the ref's not saying anything. And Tony Schiavone goes, well, it's outside the ring.
Yeah.
And Bobby's like, what, so you just shoot someone outside the ring?
I believe it was Jesse, Case.
Sorry, Jesse.
But I think Bobby was saying that backstage. Yeah. But no, Bobby was out with it. Now, I've got it wrong, damn it! But look, I just... The Ultimate Warrior only worked well with two people ever. Oh, maybe three. Should we argue Hogan?
Yeah.
That was all right. The WrestleMania 6 main event. But it was Rick Rude and Macho Man. Oh, man. Yeah, Triple H didn't know how to work well with a lot of people. And we'll be filling in a few more gaps with that, I guess, in the next few podcasts coming up. But, this match was brilliant. And, again, as far as championship matches are concerned, this is the only singles one we're going to get for the evening. There's not a multiple belts floating around.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, now, the one thing, and look, we don't see it, unfortunately, because WWE at least can be bothered editing some things. But on the original broadcast live, there's the Oakland cuss incident. Have you heard of this?
No, tell me.
All right. Prior to the match, he's chatting to Rick Rude and Bobby Heenan. The SummerSlam thing falls down behind him, and he goes, "Ah, fuck it!" And it went live on air, and they tried to catch it and went, no, put up this interview, because it was an interview segment. Yep. It's not live. And they put up the wrong one, and me just, fuck it! And they're like, so it wasn't really his fault, but that was his reaction, probably after a couple of gin and tonics or whatever. But,
that's great.
It's pretty funny. You can actually look it up. I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube if you want to giggle of sorts. And I did actually enjoy the interviews over the course of the evening. I do like the interviews later, especially once Rick Rude unfortunately isn't successful this evening. And the Ultimate Warrior does promise all his warriors he's going to win that title back by hook or crook.
And he does it by a pipe.
Yeah. An illegal pipe. Brr. Rowdy Roddy Piper is back after his successful Piper's Pit at WrestleMania 5.
Right.
Your favourite?
Yeah.
He didn't bring out Morton with him for a fire extinguisher. He just brought out his ass. Because unfortunately that's all the Scotsman has on his
shirt. Yeah, he moons Rick Rude and completely distracts the poor guy.
Rick Rude's not very happy about it.
No, I'd be outraged. Not only do you have to see Piper's ass, but then you lose your belt.
But I love just that, and that's just the way it goes back in 1989. Is that program's over? Rick Rude's going, Piper, I'm coming for you. I'm going to get my belt back, and then I'm coming for you. And you go, all right, new feud. I think I know what's going to happen in Survivor Series. But it was good to see Roddy back.
Yeah, it was.
Even though his promo afterwards just made no sense. No sense. And I'm not even going to go into
the most of his promos don't make a lot.
He's
of
going
sense.
To eat a garage. What? What does that mean? I didn't even look it up. I'm like, I don't even know. That's not a saying. But I do like the back and forth. Because they also interview, and this is after chatting to Piper, Rugged Ronnie Garvin.
Yes, that's
pops
right.
Pops up in a tux. He's like, hey, and Oakland's like, you're not coming for my job, eh? Oh, fuck it. No, no, he didn't say that. But when Bobby Heenan and Rick Rude come back after their ultimate failure, is Heenan just pushes Rugged Ronnie Garvin out the way? And you've got to go back and watch. Once you see it, you go, I can't believe I missed that all these times.
Yeah, right.
You just get out of the freaking way. It's just like, all right, off I go. Oh, it's just fun. I love that there's only one announcer backstage. So he just keeps conveniently going, hello, hello, yeah. Hello. Like, these guys should be fighting at the back, shouldn't they? But look, I totally enjoyed that match. Yeah, the Ultimate Warrior over the years really didn't need his handheld. In certain matches.
Yeah.
Definitely. Rick Rude was apparently very patient with him. And Rick Rude was suffering from the back injury even back then.
Yeah, right.
So, but yeah, I don't think Rick Rude's career actually recovered after this match, really.
Yeah, I mean, he does have a match against the Warrior again
he does,
next year.
For the championship.
Yeah, in a steel cage.
That was his last match with that run. He was off to WCW after that. Let's go to this next match.
Yeah, sure.
Because this is a fun one.
This is a very fun one. This is another six-man tag match, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's,
we got Demolition.
You go. You do it.
Demolition with King Duggan.
Oh!
So Hacksaw's obviously won King of the Ring.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's got his stupid gimp mask on to match the Demolition guys. Mm-hmm. And they are up against, what a team. Andre the Giant and the Twin Towers. So what are they? The Triple Towers.
Oh, my God. And the Twin Towers, of course, Akeem and Boss Man.
Yep. And they're with Bobby Heenan and Slick as well. Bobby's actually here for just about almost every match.
Yeah, he's working overtime. He might as well not bother going out the back. Just take a seat at the front. The combined weight. Of 1,334 pounds.
That's ridiculous.
So that's about 400 pounds a pop for the Towers.
Yeah.
Giving Andre, 534.
Yeah.
That's a pretty... math, kids. But that's a pretty...
That's a hefty team.
It's a pretty good team. I mean, the Twin Towers is enough by itself. You don't need a giant lumbering out behind you. This is fun. Actually, one thing here, fun fact time. Big John Studd was originally supposed to be with Axe and Smash. But his return wasn't going down too well. So, he's King Duggan. Now, do you know why he's King Duggan?
Because he won King of the Ring?
Well, they didn't really have a King of the Ring of sorts, but he did defeat... I can't remember. Now, who did he defeat? He defeated King Haku.
Yes.
To become King Duggan. And, of course, he was then defeated by Randy Savage.
Oh, when he began the Munchie.
Yeah, you can't keep Savage down. He's always up to something. And, of course, and one thing I should just mention, since you were bragging the other night, is you've bought an Akeem toy.
Well, I think it was that? I had a few beers while watching this.
Yeah.
And that night I was just drunk eBaying. And completely
I've never done that.
I've done it a few times.
I know you have. You go, what's this? I don't even know what I've ordered.
Yeah. And then, once I opened it, I remembered. And then I was like...
It's like buying yourself presents and then forgetting.
Yeah, it's great. It's just a lovely surprise. It turned up last week. So, yeah, one of those old school Hasbro or Mattel or whatever, the old wrestling figures. I used to have a Brutus the Barber one when I was a kid.
Yeah, right.
Don't ask me why. I got
this is the type of kid I was. I had Bobby Heenan and the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov.
Oh, the Iron Sheik one would be cool.
And Nikolai Paul Orndorff had too.
Man, that's a pretty good...
You know what? I probably sold him at a Trash and Treasure for a dollar.
Well, I
should have kept
it. I think I bought the Brutus one at a Trash and Treasure for a dollar. Mm. Dollar. But I paid about 30
what
bucks.
What axe is that?
I paid about 30 bucks for this Akeem one, I believe.
Yeah, right. But you're not going to sell it. You're never going to sell it for 31.
Nah,
you're just going to keep it.
Yeah, I just want it on my shelf.
Now, actually, another thing, and we will get to this match, because the match only goes for 7 minutes. But when that music hits, with slick coming out. Yeah. Akeem is dancing.
Oh, yeah.
He is dancing.
He's got the best dance in the business. Forget about Dusty.
But you know, the actual performer, I think his name's George Gray, something pretty stock standard. He was really shy and embarrassed about this character. He doesn't look like he is. But like, he was...
Didn't you mean Akeem?
Akeem, yeah. He didn't hate it. He was like, no, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But he was always a bit like, oh...
Can't I just be one man gang?
Yeah, it was pretty much. Exactly. I thought, I don't know.
Look, to be honest, I was not a big fan or anything when I was a kid. But in this, since we've rewatched all the WrestleManias, he's become like my favorite wrestler of the era.
I know.
He's great.
I know. He's pretty funny. He's pretty funny. So this match itself...
I actually saw also on eBay, you can get like a Akeem costume. So it's like a...
Does it blow up?
Yeah, well, that's what you need. You need to stuff a few pillows at me. But essentially, like, the T-shirt with the yellow V and the hat.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was thinking, maybe I should... Unfortunately, I'm losing weight now. But if I turn things around and get...
Since 1 week, you've dropped a bit of weight. What's going on, man? You're going to be very skinny this Christmas. I've got a funny feeling.
Yeah.
That thought has passed my mind before, that I thought, you know what, I'm only a boss man costume and a goatee away from us pulling off the Twin Towers.
We could do it.
But anyway, look, it's the festive season, I might just grow a beard and I'll be Akeem, because I'm eating a lot of peanuts and a lot of chocky at the moment, so let's see how we go. Not too many drop kicks in this match.
Not too many
flying head scissors.
Yeah, I didn't see too many top rope shenanigans from Andre the Giant.
There's one at the end from Hacksaw.
True.
You notice this match actually kind of strangely mirrors the first match.
Yeah.
But it's the other way around, because the goodies decide that they're going to cheat.
That's right. Again, what are these refs doing? Fire them. Fire the refs.
Just the lot. Maybe they had a union back then. I know the wrestlers didn't, but the referees might. You get rid of us all, we're going to Footlocker. No, I don't know. But I guess you don't expect too many fancy moves from someone called Smash or Axe. But overall, I do remember one line from Jesse, and it's just, that's the benefit of having a giant in your corner. Because when Andre just donked from the side. And actually, it is quite funny. Should we just go to the end?
Yeah.
The very end, Hacksaw's running around with his 2x4. Doesn't get confused and disqualified for once.
No.
He hits Akeem. Your favourite. And of course, then they steal the pin. But the whole time, Andre's just holding the tag rope going, hey! look over there! No, it is the only one abiding by the rules, whilst Hacksaw winks at the camera and they all go off laughing. And we beat the big guys. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, it was.
It was fun. And it kind of woke me up, too. I don't know. Like, it just... Not that I was falling asleep after the Rick Rude Ultimate Warrior match. I was just thinking, how do you top that?
Yeah, yeah.
With this?
Yeah.
With just...
I don't know if you necessarily top it, but you... Yeah, it's something...
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was a chaser. It wasn't more of the same.
Yeah.
And this next one's kindly short.
Yeah.
Because it's got two
of them. I also quite like this, too. We've got Greg Valentine versus Hercules, but we've got Ron Garvin as the special guest ring announcer.
It's probably his best work.
Yeah, I know. He was hilarious. He's completely ragging on Greg Valentine.
Well, Greg Valentine ended his career.
Yeah.
So we're getting a little bit of the it's an old angle, but he's just going to bug Greg Valentine.
What accent's that?
I don't know. But he's going to bug Mr. Valentine. I won't touch Greg again. Until he goes, can you just bring him back so I can beat him up? And it works. Works every time.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's never failed. Even Hogan brought back Flair after he rocked up in drag and going nuts. But, yeah, what does he say? His so-called opponent is how he begins. And Jesse's so-called! He announces his weight. He looks like he's about 30 pounds overweight. Awesome. That's probably his head.
I love it.
Greg Valentine, his head just looks like a big piece of meatloaf. He looks like a grumpy character from Thomas the Tank Engine. He's that face.
He's a sad fat loser.
He's a hateable heel, I'll give him that. I never enjoyed him.
But it's a pretty quick match, and actually Greg Valentine wins though, doesn't he? Because he gets his feet up on the ropes.
He does, he steals it.
Again, terrible refereeing. And then...
Did this put you in hospital? Did you put screaming at the television?
I gave myself a stomach ulcer. I do like, because Ron Garvin refuses to announce Greg Valentine as the winner.
He keeps announcing Hercules. Yeah. By disqualification. Yeah. Hercules, Valentine clocks him.
Yeah.
And then Hercules, you know, of course, joins the foray. The funniest thing is this match, okay, we're supposed to calm down because, you know, the big boys are coming out soon. Hogan and Beefcake. Assuming they've finished hanging and banging. You notice that? And, oh, boy. But this match, we're just supposed to calm down a bit. But the biggest pop of this match is when Garvin tears his jacket off and jumps back in the ring and cold cocks Valentine. The place pops.
Yeah.
All right.
Everyone likes to see you. He'll get their comeuppance.
Not from Max Headroom. What I call him? Sting's dad.
Yes.
It's Sting's uncle. But anyway. Over very, very quickly, actually. Just over 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Next, we've got Ted DiBiase stuck in the toilet break match.
Mm, yeah.
Considering last year, 88, he's in the main event with Andre. And poor old Ted, I don't know what's happened here. He seems to have been shafted, really, because...
Well, he does. He gets put up against the legend match, I guess, with Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah, this is Jimmy Snuka's first match since he was announced to come back. Because remember he came back at WrestleMania 5 and they're like, Jimmy Snuka!
Yeah, that's right.
And that was it.
Like, what's that all about? This is what it was all about. Well,
he loses.
He loses by count out as well. It's not even much of a match, is it?
It's not. Jimmy Snuka. I mean, I was never really a big fan because he was before our time.
Yeah.
And of course, you know all the other stuff that we've read since. I mean, you know.
Exactly. It's like as a kid, I always sort of had a, you know, he's one of the classics, whatever.
Yeah.
Shoes. Yeah. These days it's hard to get excited by. And he does, even though he loses the match, he does get to do his.
He does. And it's actually very good.
Splash or whatever on Virgil.
Poor old Virgil. But his first pay-per-view since the Golden Era. I have jotted down here. Actually, one thing with Ted DiBiase, and this is just completely off to the side, is Ted DiBiase the year prior pretty much was the scheming heel.
Yeah.
He was like the Lex Luthor almost. And he had his monster Andre.
He
was like a huge part of 88.
Yeah, of course.
And it's almost
like, the WrestleMania main event.
Yeah, but it's like this year, they've gone, we're going with Savage.
Yeah.
Because Savage is the new mastermind
of
89, and he pretty much just stuck to that until he left the company.
Yeah.
I love heel Savage.
Yeah, well, speaking of, he's coming up.
Yeah, I know.
It's so good, isn't it? Like, you got...
How good's the promo earlier when they were looking in the cauldron? Yeah. Like, you go, what is in that
That's
cauldron?
That's right, Sherry's all like...
Nostradamus.
Like crazy and, predicting all this stuff out of the
cauldron. No, I see them too. They're a little smaller. Zeus is inhaling it. What is going on?
Zeus is mental. And, of course, Savage and Zeus have teamed up to take on Hulk and his buddy Brutus.
Brother Brutai.
And they've got Miss Elizabeth with them because, of course, Randy Savage is now hooked up with Sensational Sherry.
I think an excellent pick.
Yes. Yeah, perfect. I mean, as much as, you know, Elizabeth and Savage is classic, Sherry's way more suited to to Savage and his shtick.
Well, Elizabeth and Savage were a very complex duo because people would always cheer and clap Savage because they loved Elizabeth, but Macho Man was a jerk, and he always was.
Yeah.
Even when he was a face, he was a heel. So when he finally went, nah, here she is, it's, you know, Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Now we're talking, and on the Brother Love show, they bring out Zeus from No Holds Barred, because we're supposed to believe that's all real. Is that what we're doing? I don't know what we're doing, but... And we do get that flashback, and this is how you book a main event, guys. I mean, you know, why don't they just look back at successful paper, when I say 600,000 buys,
they
look back and go, well, how did that work? Well, hang on, we've got that version of that guy now.
Yeah.
We can bring in a movie guy that could be a monster, can't we? Like... Can't be that hard.
Nah.
But anyway, because what was it? Brutus Beefcake was up against Randy Savage at a Saturday night main event.
Right.
And Zeus jumps in, causes a bit of trouble. Hogan jumps in. There's our match.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's so simple. yeah, it beggars belief that they can't just pull this stuff.
I know. All I remember too, and it's only because it springs to mind, is I remember the Mad magazine, like, did No Holds Barred and all that stuff.
Right.
And Hogan's like, "You can't look me in the eye and call me a chicken." And Zeus says, "I can't look you in the eye permanently," because he's got the crazy eye. And you know, Tommy Tiny Lister is an actor. Like, yes. he's in Jackie Brown.
Oh, really?
He's Winston. He's the guy that works for Max Cherry.
Yeah.
He's in that. Of course, No Holds Barred. Yeah. But what else is he in? He was in The Dark Knight.
Really?
Yeah, he's the guy. You know when there's the two boats and the Joker's sort of gone, you both got bombs and you can blow each other up?
Yeah.
And he's the one that goes, "You give me that and I'll do what you should have done 5 minutes ago."
Right.
And then he throws it in the ocean. And I was, so he's a good guy. You know what I always thought with that, segue slightly, is I thought that if they pushed it, it was actually their bomb.
Ah, yeah.
Were you thinking that? Where you go, gotcha.
Yeah.
Nothing simple with the Joker. Anyway, not relevant. Main event time. The Genius.
Oh, of course, the Genius is out at first, isn't
Lanny.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a great voice.
He does. Yeah.
And I always think, because like, he was obviously Randy Savage's brother. Imagine Thanksgiving at their place, like everyone talking, like, "Can you burst that?"
"Of course I can."
"Ooh, yeah."
"I can because I'm a man." "A man I can." Ha ha.
But yeah, and might cut that out. But I was really excited the second it started up. Savage comes out looking great with Sherry, who looks great too.
Yeah.
Zeus looks like a monster. He was pretty scary.
As a kid, you're like,
this guy is not... Because he wasn't a wrestler. He was just a monster. You go, can this guy hurt people?
Yeah, maybe? Yeah. Like, yeah, no, I thought that as a kid too. I was like, is this guy just something?
Because all he does is strangle and he no-sells Hogan.
Yeah, completely. He's like, Hogan can't get him down.
Yeah, which is a change. Jeez, Hogan be thinking, what? Is this what it feels like?
Yeah.
And Bruce Beefcake gets his own entrance, his fun little and thankfully...
Did you see the little kid in the crowd?
And also, I was kind of impressed with that.
Yeah.
But also, too, the cardboard head clippers. But also, too, the sign, the infamous sign of Hulk and Bertus.
Yeah.
The classic, you had one job. And they even put it straight on it. You're like, oh, the Genius would have been like, oh my goodness. We are in New Jersey, though. What do you expect? Yeah, yeah. So once we're all in the ring, and Miss Elizabeth, of course, joins us as well. Poor old Liz. She doesn't have much to do, does she? It's not...
No. She just... she doesn't come out straight away, does she? She comes out.
Yeah. During the match. But overall, though, I just... Oh, no, well, they kind of, they announce it. You know, the whisper in the ear. Right. Remember Bruce? Oh, yeah. They're like, why is he booked in this? You couldn't find anyone better? He'd be wrapped Macho Man was a heel now. But Savage works overtime.
Yeah, of course.
No surprise. Yeah. See him running up and down the ring. He's trying to just attack Elizabeth. What's he doing? Get over it, man. But he does so much work in this. He does the grunt work. And he really...
Well, Sherry does a fair bit, too. Like,
she's great.
Getting involved and... actually, doesn't Elizabeth flip her... Like, Sherry's leaning into the ring and...
Towards the end.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens. Because there's a loaded purse.
That's right.
That pops up earlier.
Yep.
But Sherry, in the end, does get flipped over and... she looks very nice in that dress, by the way. Again, I'm like, oh, sorry, Liz. But... And of course, I've got a case of the ums now. Now we're like, But at the end, Hogan, gives her an atomic drop.
That's right.
What a gentleman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's after the match.
Well,
what happens? It's, at first, who is it? Is it Brutus who gets hit by the purse first?
Yeah. Does.
And then, but then later on, Hogan
gets
her and hits Zeus with it.
Yeah.
Right. But
baby face.
Yeah, exactly. And again, what's the ref doing?
Washing his shorts? I had no idea. He's at a union meeting.
And that's the only way he's able to get Zeus down, really.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. He slams him.
Yep.
Leg drop.
Leg drop. Big leg drop, too.
Yeah, yeah. Now, again, this is, it was huge. And to have Randy Savage as your opponent in a tag match, I mean, this guy doesn't get tired.
Yeah.
And he stands out. He stood out to me in this match. Yeah. Like, you go, he's making everyone look good. He's in Zeus's ear. I love how he keeps stopping and whispering to Zeus, like, oh, yeah, right.
I like that, like, even right at the start of the match when they're, like, you know, both teams are in the ring and they're, like, you know, just off to each other's sides and whispering in each other's ears their strategies. It's great.
Oh, great strategy.
Yeah.
I've got a purse with a brick in it. No one checked. But
it was fun. I love it. And then, Hogan beats up poor Sherry at the end. And Tommy Drop. Oh, I forgot to mention, one of the best atomic drops I've ever seen was in a match earlier. What was it? Was it Greg Valentine and Hercules, maybe?
Yeah, potentially.
And Valentine goes flying out of the ring the atomic drop. It was amazing. I forgot to mention, it was the best atomic drop I've ever seen.
You know, 100 years ago, an atomic drop was a finisher. Ka-doink. Pin. I actually heard the other day, do you know, and although not originated in Australia, but we certainly stole it, like we do a lot of things, Mel Gibson and other people. Maybe not now, but America can have him back these days. But do you know that the first tag team match was announced as Australian Rules?
Really?
It was a made-up Aussie wrestling match that we didn't invent, but we certainly accepted. So there you Aussie go. Rules tag team in the 40s.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, heard it the other day. Very on some random wrestling. Not funny, but very interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, a little tidbit.
That's it. Another little tidbit that I've got for you is tiny Tommy Lister, Zeus, a.k.a. Zeus, earned $56,000 for his effort for this one match.
$56,000.
Back in 89. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. Go buy a bloody house with that. Yeah. So we'll get his eyes fixed, one of the two. But look, I loved Zeus, and that's why I just... And he didn't stick around long, did he?
No, goodness. No, he's... Is he for Survivor Series and then...
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, No. There was one more match.
Yeah, there's one more.
Because they had a cage match.
Yeah.
And it was early the next year. Yeah. And they sort of re-released it with the movie on television.
Right, the match, the movie.
Yeah, No Holds Barred.
Yeah. Have you seen No Holds Barred?
The movie?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I was going to watch it.
It's pretty bad. But you know what? I think in retrospect now, I'd probably really like it. Like, schlocky bad.
Yeah.
I know Kurt Fuller's the villain in it. Like, you know Kurt Fuller from Ghostbusters 2? Always plays he's always very slimy.
Who is he in Ghostbusters 2?
He's like the villain. He's like the one that gets them all locked up.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He's in Wayne's World. Yeah.
Ah, that guy.
That guy. Yeah, yeah. He's good. He's a good actor. Never liked him as a kid. That's because he's a good actor. But, and you know what? That's the end of my notes.
Yeah.
And then it just ends with Hogan basking in his glory. Beefcake fucks up every pose. He doesn't do it right once. It's three poses. Unless he's trying to do it wrong. Like, no, I'm doing my own thing over here. But bit weird. And Hogan's music just plays and plays and plays. They show us all the different bits that happen in slow-mo. Sherry gets the atomic drop. There's her bum. I saw it. What a terrific SummerSlam.
The best time of wrestling, basically.
The SummerSlams were just fantastic until probably 93.
Yeah.
I think 93 might have been the first lackluster one where you went, they used to be really good. But I just love how, like, you know, this is back in the day where the champion can just be in a tag match.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to defend it.
That's all right.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, well, you know Hulk's not going to lose it anyway.
More people on the card, I'm happy with that always. The only thing I was disappointed with is it would have been fun to see Brother Love out there with Sherry out of the ring. Why not?
Certainly.
More people, more pests. Case, that's my pick.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, and Happy New Year, because next time...
Well, and that's what I'm waiting for. What are we reviewing New Year's Eve?
Considering we were doing this one on SummerSlam 89, I thought, you know, let's see.
SummerSlam?
Let's see how the other half are living at this time. So, those who were not big WWF fans at the time, but.
Who's that? Oh.
There's a few people.
Who are you talking about? Are you talking about WCW?
Talking about
WCW. Or NWA?
NWA, even, So, we're talking about the Great American Bash 1989. So, yeah, I'm not familiar with this sort of era of WCW, but, of course, a lot of these wrestlers that were in there at that time will come across to WWF sooner or later. Mm. So, I'm just interested to see how things were presented over on that side of the fence at this same time that we were enjoying a great SummerSlam.
Well, there you go, folks. Until then.
Until then, Merry Christmas.
I'll see you then,
Happy New Year. I'll cheers you with my water bottle.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.